The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
John Moran is with me here in studio, the Mayor of Limerick. John, it's good to see you. How are you?
Great to see you again.
Former czar of the Land Development Agency, is that what they would have said?
And that's what they probably would say, yeah.
So listen, how have you found the last 10 months?
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like the time is going by so quickly, right? I was at a conference this morning here in Dublin, as I think you know, speaking about the last number of months and where to go. It's really been interesting, right? I mean, so Ireland is such an outlier in terms of the power given to local authorities that we were just kind of going through, how can we use the role that we have now in Limerick to actually do it. Last week, I was touring UK cities up in Manchester, Salford and Liverpool and Birmingham, looking at the different models of local governments there and how we can do it. And I think you get a couple of themes coming through, right? I think there is an absolute need to give more authority to local authorities, budgetary authority, whether it's through a directly elected mayor or through the council. I think there's a need for the councillors that we have to be given more power and more authority themselves. And then I think that'll change the nature of the role of councillors. And as I think we once said before, I think that'll change the nature of TDs, who will then focus more on national government. But it's bizarre. I was being asked questions at the conference about Dublin. You know, Dublin's the only capital city in Ireland without the head of the executive who's actually elected. So, you know, there's something wrong. I don't think we're that special.
Right? What have you made of the arguments put forward by some with regard to Dublin and kind of raising the spectre of a Conor McGregor? We couldn't have a directly elected mayor. There'd be a protest vote and look who we'd end up with.
Yeah, well, I don't want to mention names, but like when we were doing it down in Limerick,
I was the protest vote, right?
You know, it's the first time I've ever been compared to Conor McGregor. I mean, but no, look, I think as we saw in Limerick, and I said this again today to answer the question, like the people of Limerick, everyone said they were going to pick a celebrity hurler or they were going to pick a sports person or just do something. They absolutely didn't, right? I mean, and more importantly, the candidates that stepped forward to the plate didn't reflect that because they knew they wouldn't have, you know, the chance of actually winning. And it's elections are hard, right? I think one of the big things about Irish elections as well is like there's very serious limitations on how much you can spend, right? So it's not possible to buy an election in Ireland. The Irish population are sensible. You know, the people in Dublin will, I'm sure, do the same thing that the people in Limerick did. They'll watch the debates. They'll read the newspapers. They'll ask questions on the doors. And it's, I suppose, for me, what it really says to the political parties, because I don't think we should stop the move forward. I mean, I think the devolution is really important for democracy. I think it means that the political parties now in Dublin, because it's a much bigger job than I have, will have to actually think carefully about what candidates they put forward to make sure that they are able to do an executive role as opposed to representative politics. And that's the way you actually beat sort of fringe candidates and, you know, populism is you come to the centre. You need 51% of the vote. So, you know, we're a sensible nation. I mean, I think we think centrally as our base. And I think that would carry through in an election.
So your ambition in year one was to do what? Was it, were there kind of certain goals in mind or was it about maybe forging space for the new role in the initial period?
I think it was somebody said today that you kind of always assume you'll get more done in the first year and then actually don't realise how much you'll get done in 10 years when you start into a role like this. I think the initial thing was we obviously had to do the mayoral programme. Right?
Yeah.
So that was converting the manifesto into an actionable plan, bringing the councillors across on that, taking new ideas from them, from the staff and doing it. We're right in a really important point now, I think, right? So the new government has come in, they're about to do the NDP. I was just at the Department of Public Expenditure explaining the priorities of Limerick. So what's happened, which is really important from a Limerick perspective, is that we now have a seat at the table that realistically was what we were promised when the mayor was promised to Limerick.
Yeah.
And we now have that seat to be having those conversations with the decision makers in advance of government making decisions.
Who's making those representations or who would have been previously, say, from Limerick's point of view, or who is from Waterford or Galway or Cork?
Yeah, well, what I'm learning is very probably nobody, right?
Okay.
So TDs in some ways would have been doing that, but without the holistic framework of which I have now. I mean, a year into this role, you have a very good sense of where the priorities are for Limerick, where we want to put housing, where we need infrastructure that's not there. And we've been literally in the last 2 weeks preparing, maybe now I'm saying this on open air, every local government will start doing it, which is good because that's actually what we want local government doing. But we're literally writing letters to every government minister with respect to the priorities that Limerick needs in their respective departments, and then pulling all that together for the central departments, including our own, the Department of Housing. And that really wasn't happening. And I think that's probably the biggest change that's happened. I mean, we'd have loved to have had more powers devolved, and we'd love more budgetary authority. It didn't happen into legislation, and I do hope that'll happen over time. But I think the ability, which is important in Limerick, first of all, to pull together all the priorities, to think much bigger than we've done before. So I remember the first week I was in the role, I asked somebody down in the Limerick City Council, like, what do I ask the Taoiseach for? And essentially it was a 20 million refurb of a building, right? We're now looking for billions, because that's actually what Limerick needs in terms of infrastructure, transport. We're advocating not just letting Irish Rail do it, but we're joining the voices of Limerick to the fact that we want to base transport in Limerick on trains, supplemented by buses and active travel. We're activating, you know, hopefully acres and acres of lands with the LDA's help. And while before, I suppose, they were in looking for the money to allow it to be spent in Limerick, we're now directly also lending our voices on that.
And so you've got a kind of a unified voice, as opposed to the LDA saying, listen, we've got this huge bank of land here in Limerick that we want to develop. You've got separately somebody lobbying for the transport infrastructure change. You've got somebody else on the kind of built heritage side. You can bring all those voices together and you can make the case for kind of that as one coherent picture. Is that
it? Yeah, we're going to draft. I mean, it'll probably be by the end of the week, or at least early next week, we'll draft a single letter now to the Minister Jack Chambers about, look, this is, from my perspective at least, having thought through all the issues of the last year, having talked to lots of people, these are where Limerick's priorities lie. Mm. Map them to those priorities that the government share with us. I mean, it's lots of the same things. It's housing, it's infrastructure, it's the port infrastructure for the offshore wind, it's transport. You know, and I think then you can explain that something isn't just a sports complex. It's a sports complex in an area where we need to do new housing. It makes that neighbourhood an attractive place for people to live.
Well, it strikes me that it's such a common complaint all over Ireland that, you know, people see housing being developed and they say, where's the shops? Where's the school? Where's the municipal sports facilities? Or they see one without the other. And it's that phrase that we like to use all the time, joined up thinking, and its absence.
Yeah, and look, Limerick has been really on a journey, right? So, you know, we've had the 10, 12 years ago, the double whammy of the Dell closure and the financial crisis. Mm. And since then, the whole city region of Limerick, which includes obviously Clare and Tipperary and indeed the broader hinterland out to Galway and Cork, and I always keep claiming Galway and Cork as part of our hinterland, of course, as the mayor of Limerick can do. But it is genuinely the three cities working together, and even if we get the right infrastructure, including the southeast as well in that, right? But that area of the Shannon Estuary, if I call it that, has been hugely successful in job creation in the last 7-8 years. Diversification of the economy. Mm. I'm not at all worried anymore about even the conversations with Trump and Trump, because the economy is just so much more diversified there now. Two universities producing great talent all the time. But it's on the infrastructure delivery, it's on the housing delivery, that holistic forward planning look that I think we've been let down by ourselves in some respects, because we haven't had these kind of structures and thought process, and by central government that, you know, I mean, I was hearing the same story of Andy Burnham in Manchester. I mean, the same things are being said in Birmingham and in Liverpool and in Manchester. Mm. It's just the need for central government to invest in the regions and do so by allowing them to kind of set their own priorities. And it's working very well. They're about 5-10 years ahead of us in the UK. We can see it happening. And I'm pretty sure if we can keep driving on, we'll have other cities following as well in Ireland.
You were hugely politically engaged, you know, before this, not party politics, but just engaged in the system, and you would have known Limerick well and known all of the challenges, which is kind of the basis that you ran on. Is there anything about the role that surprised you?
Well, first of all, it's way more work than I thought it was going to be, right? Okay, so I've been here weeks and it keeps going. I thought it was only going to be for the first couple.
No one's walking the dog.
Right?
No.
I think that, and I said this again just earlier inside in Marion Street, right? I think when you're in central government, I don't think you have a good appreciation of the constraints that exist on local government, both on the councillors and on the officials, just in terms of the time it takes to get approval, the time to get resources. And that has been certainly a frustration. I think that has led to almost a philosophy of just everybody working hard on projects without necessarily being as open, perhaps themselves or the public, about we're going to get it done by this date. We're going to get it done by that date. And mapping all those, the kind of things that people that are familiar with project management and that would expect to see in an organization doing as many thousands of tasks as Limerick City Council. And so putting all of those foundations in place has been a lot of what we've been actually doing. What surprised me on the upside is it's amazing how much Limerick has become a conversation piece in a positive way because of this. Like we were over and it was actually funny because we went to Birmingham with the last mayor who's a councillor in Limerick 2 years ago, and myself and our head of forward planning met the mayor of Birmingham on Friday, and he said, you know, welcome to Birmingham. I said, well, I think in this case it's welcome back because all three of us were Brummies and have been born there, you know. But the access that we got over 2 days, you know, having announced we were going to Birmingham, we then looked to meet people in Salford and in Liverpool and over in Manchester, and all the meetings, everyone was curious to know how's this directly elected mayor thing working out in Ireland. They believe in it just as much as I do, and they want to continue to see that expand everywhere, right? And that gives a huge opportunity to just shine a light on what's going on in Limerick and the positivity around that and the potential.
So you said right at the outset, somebody remarked to you early on that you'd be surprised how little you could do in a year, but how much you can do in 10 years. Do you suspect that most of the fruits of your labour you will see in a decade's time?
Yeah,
well, do you know, to people listening to this who might say, we've had a directly elected mayor for a year. Why is Limerick not radically changed in every degree?
The funny thing is, small things have started to happen, right, on the ground. And that's been an important part of, I think, the sequencing of things to give people confidence that things are moving forward. And I mean, you know, for me, a really important part of everything I do is getting action, right? I mean, we've had a number of projects, Colbert, we've had the Opera Centre. These are projects that we've been talking about doing for 10 years, right? We've had some longer ones over and around Mayrass, the train station in Mayrass, as an aspiration in 2008, hopefully going to planning permission now this year, if not even before the summer. We're back talking about the idea of this 25 to 30 acre park, you know, along the north side, along by the river. And these have kind of drifted and just not, you know, come together. Mm. And so I think this government have come to the election, come out of the election saying they want to be, you know, responsible for speeding up delivery and stuff like that. And that's where I think the role of mayor can be really powerful. The other thing that happens, and this was in the conversation today, was that I want to stay living in Limerick. So I don't actually, in some respects, I benefit whether it's something that happens in 20 years' time, assuming I can stay alive that long, you know, or whether it happens in 5 weeks.
Yeah.
It's a very different dynamic, is why I think more people like to be mayor of their area than a government minister. Because when you're doing stuff at government and you've got 5 years to do it, in some ways it's kind of hard to really benefit from the rewards of that other than watching it. When you're the mayor and you plant a cherry blossom tree, you know, in 2025 or 2026, you look at it every year.
Yeah.
And you see it grow and you can see other things, whether it's schools, whether it's parks, whether it's, you know, just the cleaning up of streets. All of that you can get to see the dividend of yourself personally, and therefore the people who voted for you see it as well.
Well, I see John Moran is on the screen and on the TV here in the corner of the studio and sitting live in front of me as well. So in three dimensions, four dimensions.
Mayors are everywhere.
They're everywhere. You can't get rid of them. John, listen, thanks a million for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Lots still to come on the show.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.